Bibles, go ahead and open up the Word to Psalm 82. And that's just what the title of the message can be today, is Psalm 82. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have any idea what the Lord wants me to say, which is probably a good thing, because then y'all know that it's really coming from the Holy Spirit. That's what I try to do. I try to be instant in season. And I'll tell you, sometimes it's better that way for it to just come off the cuff, because sometimes when you say something off the cuff, it's not a good thing. But if you're operating in the Holy Spirit, which I hope I am, it's a good thing. So Lord, guide my tongue, guard my lips and tongue, Lord, that I do not sin against you, but that I'm actually a blessing to you and to others, Lord. Let this message be one that goes out and lifts someone up or grounds them in you or brings them comfort or brings them joy. Whatever it is you want brought out of this word today, Lord, let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 82. It's a psalm of Asaph. I'm going to be reading out of Old King James, so the these and thous or yous and yous. So, here we go. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. As I read this, as I've read this earlier today, it struck me how prophetic this is. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. Now, what is mighty? If you look in the dictionary, it says strong. But what is strong? Strength is not only in numbers. It is not only in power of body. But it is in, for me, this is just Karen talking, it is in power of spirit. It is in strength. Strength is in being able to control your own tongue. And that comes from the Spirit. There have been times when I've been able to hold my tongue, and there have been times when I haven't. And most of the time I regret when I have not held my tongue. I will tell you that right now. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? There's two ways that I could look at this. Thinking about that he's talking to God and saying, how long are you going to judge unjustly? Well, God is not unjust. And yet, as we look at what's going on in the world, people have asked the question, God, how can you let this happen? We hear about things in the news, terrible, horrific, tragic things, not just the natural disasters, but the things that people do to one another. How can you allow these things, O God? Personally, I think he allows these things because he gave Adam dominion over this world. And then Adam turned that over to Satan through his sin. And so that's why they call Satan the god of this world. It's because he has the lease. Rick, you're a landlord. You know what it's like trying to evict somebody. It takes a while. And so I think right now God is in the process of doing the eviction of the enemy. But when somebody has been told that they're going to be evicted, most of the time, and Rick, you can, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of times they'll do as much damage as they can to a place before they're gone. Just out of spite. Out of vengeance. They will mess that place up. They don't care about their security deposit because they weren't going to get it back anyway. Most of the time, the people who do these sorts of things, the people who are going to get evicted, they've already lost that security deposit. Well, we have good news, though, because the Holy Spirit is our security deposit. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is our security deposit. He has got the lease back. He just hasn't taken possession of the property yet. But he's going to. He's going to very soon. I liken it to those seals. I think, as Pastor has said before, that scroll, which is in the hand of the man sitting on the right hand of God, that's the lease, the title lease on the planet Earth. And it's got six seals on it. And when those seals start breaking, hallelujah, that's him taking back possession of the property listed on that lease. But until then, as we've been studying in Bible study in Sunday school, until then, we're in the in-between place. And that can last a while sometimes. So how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? There's a lot of wickedness going on. And God is long-suffering. He's not willing that anyone should perish. And so he's giving people a chance. He's giving people a chance to see their need for a Savior and to turn their lives over to the Lord Jesus. And that's the thing, is people don't understand. They want to call him Savior, and they want to call him brother, and they want to call him friend, but you have to call him Lord. And even those who call him Lord, is he really their Lord? Because the Word tells us that he said it himself. He said, not all those who call me Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. They'll say, Lord, Lord, you know, we cast out demons in your name, and we healed the sick in your name. He says, go away from me, I never knew you. What's that mean, he never knew you? He knows everything. Well, it means he never had a relationship with you. That's just me talking, but I personally feel that the saving grace is having a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You know, Christianity is so unique. Real Christianity is unique in all of the world's religions because it's not religion. Real Christianity is a relationship with God through the saving blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's unique because every other religion in the world is trying to reach up to God. It's trying to get to heaven through their works or through some ritual. But in real Christianity, it's God reaching out to people through Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. Oh, but there's many roads to God. Okay, fine. Many roads to God, but Jesus is the gate. He says so. I'm the gate. I'm the door. No one comes to the Father but through me. Hallelujah. So until we get to that day where he says, come up here, talking to the Holy Spirit, and we all get caught away. Amen. Until that day, we're in the in-between place. We don't know how long it's going to be. It could be today. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. But it might be a few todays or tomorrows. And until that time, we need to remember to praise him and thank him. And we need to be praying. Sometimes all you can do for the lost loved ones in your life is to pray for them. Pray laborers into their path. I do that because I know those people won't listen to me because they haven't. But they might just listen to somebody else. So defend the poor and fatherless. I'm in verse 3 of Psalm 82. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. See, we're not seeing that right now. I think this is Asaph who wrote this, pleading with God. Because I think he's seeing the things in the kingdom of Israel that we're seeing today. You know, Israel is split. And they're turning their backs on God. And he's asking, he's asking the government of that time, which would be David and Solomon, he's asking them, deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. But I also think he's asking God. I just love how scripture can be taken so many different ways, not just two ways. You can interpret it in many different ways. But it's important to rightly divide the word of God. How can you do that? Well, you look elsewhere in the word of God. Does it say the same thing? Or is it contradicting what you're interpreting? If you can look elsewhere and see that what you are thinking it says is actually being said elsewhere, then you can know that you're rightly dividing the word of God. You can have the peace of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He will inform you as to what you're reading. As long as you are reading this prayerfully, when you study, ask. The first thing you do when you're studying the word of God, when you're really reading the word of God, is ask the Holy Spirit to share, to impart to you what you need to know. How can I apply this in my life? How can I make this a part of me? And so today, as I have read Psalm 82, this is what it's saying to me, is that it is prophetic. And that this is not only talking to the leadership of the day, but this is talking to God, and it's talking to the leadership of today. But Jesus said, the poor you will always have. And so, until he comes again, we're going to have the poor and the fatherless and the needy. And they're going to be in the hand of the wicked, because men rule this earth and Satan rule this earth through men, wicked men. But hallelujah, the day is coming when Jesus shall reign. Jesus shall reign. And so even though we're in these wicked times, where people are doing horrific things to the most innocent, amen, we can still praise God. Amen. We can still rejoice, because we still have God. We still have his ear, as long as we lift up his word to him in those prayers. Pray according to God's word, and you're never going to be praying wrong. You know, it's not like when you're 6 years old, oh God, please give me an F-16, I want to fly. You know, he's not going to answer that prayer. What six-year-old needs an F-16? It's not going to happen. He's not Santa Claus. Okay? But when you pray according to his word, he promises us in Isaiah, his word does not return to him void. It accomplishes his good pleasure, and it profits in the thing for which he sent it. That's 55:11. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I praise God for his word. I love, one of my favorite passages is Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And I break it down into four words. Because back when I had a nursing home ministry, you know, people didn't always remember everything. You're not going to remember. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But they can remember. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. So that's four words that breaks down those three verses into something that we can remember. And if we can apply that in our lives, the word right there tells us that we are operating in the will of God. And if we do that, then we're going to be pleasing him. Because in Corinthians, Paul tells us that if we have the knowledge of his will, then we are fully pleasing God. And he tells us right there, again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. People are like, what does God want? How do I know his will? You get in his word. That's how you know his will. Just read his word. Apply it in your life. Then you'll be walking worthily, and you'll be fully pleasing him. Not everybody's doing that. Obviously, more and more in this world, we're seeing, at least the ones who are doing the most evil in this world are getting the most attention. They're getting the media coverage, and they're getting the media favor. And it's sad, but you know what? This is something the Lord has told us would happen. Read Matthew. Read Matthew 24. Read the Olivet Discourse, and you'll know that these things are happening. He tells us, you know, all of the famines, the disasters, the people doing evil to one another, all these things, the apostasy in the church, where the very church turning against the word of God. He said all of this would happen, and he said, when you see all of these things, look up, for your salvation draws nigh. So I've been looking up for a while. Every day that comes to pass, I'm seeing that C word even more, convergence. Every day, we're seeing the natural disasters, the evil that men do, the rise of globalism, you know, and people calling Christians haters. These are the things that the Lord told us would happen. They're going to hate you because they hate me. So don't be surprised by that. Look up. Your salvation draws nigh. And so, it says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on into darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I've been talking about that in these last moments. All of the foundations of the earth are out of course. What's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. What up is down and down is up. We're seeing it. We're seeing it happen every day in the headlines. I have gotten to where I don't want to watch the news. I see things on the internet. I see things, you know, on the television. We watch several different YouTube channels, and so that's all I can stand, really. I can't remember the last time I watched the nightly news except to get the weather. And in Oklahoma, that's not much accurate. Anyway, yes, it changes. It changes hour by hour. Just like the heart of man is changeable. We've seen it. And yet, even though we know these things are foretold in Scripture, I still get shocked. I used to say nothing surprises me, but I'm getting surprised every day at how deplorable this world has become. You know, we get called the deplorables, but this world is deplorable and wicked. The world system is deplorable and wicked. And he says in verse 6, he says, I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Jesus quotes this. We just went through chapter 10 on Wednesday night. Jesus quoted this. Is it not written, you were gods? We are. We are gods. Even Shakespeare quoted this. In apprehension, how like a god. That's what God has done. He's the Most High has made us to be like him. But it's been abused. It's been poisoned. It's been perverted. And the freedom of choice, just the freedom that God has given us, has been perverted by man. It is like the days of Noah. He tells us it's going to be like the days of Noah in the end times. We're there. The perversions that Noah saw, I think we're seeing them now. And worse things. The crimes against the most innocent. I don't understand. I mean, all right, I'm going to out and out say it. I don't think abortion should be legal. That is an attack against the most innocent. And for you to tell me that that is not life, I can't fathom that. Because there are those out there who says science says that's not life. What? Science does not say that the unborn is not life. They want to lift up science as this be-all, end-all. Okay, if science says that a few microbes on Mars is life, then I'm going to tell you right now, science says that actual cells growing inside a woman's body, in her uterus, having been made by a sperm and an egg, that's life. That's life. God himself says life is in the blood. There's blood. In an embryo, there is blood. Before it even becomes a fetus, there's blood. Mm-hmm. And life is in the blood. So don't tell me there's not life there. Okay, that's the end of my PSA. We are gods, y'all. We are gods. And I can say that because the Bible says it. God is the Most High. He's the God of gods. He's the King of kings. We're kings. He's the Lord of lords. We're lords. He promises us we're going to rule and reign with him. That is what makes us lords. That is what makes us kings. He did that for us. He has made us to be that, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. There's a reference here to Job 21, and I'm going to go there. It says, I'm going to go start at 31. Who shall declare his way to his face? And who shall repay him what he has done? Yet shall he be brought to the grave and shall remain in the tomb. The clods of the valley shall be sweet unto him, and every man shall draw after him. There are innumerable before him. How then comfort you me in vain, seeing your answers there remain falsehood? What does that mean? Well, let's talk about it. You will die like one, you will die like men and fall like one of the princes. You shall be brought to the grave and shall remain in the tomb. Job's being accused of wickedness here. I think, like Satan accuses us, he's being accused by his so-called friends who are coming there to comfort him, in quotes, but they're accusing him. Satan has accused us. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's accusing us, you might say justly, but if you're in Christ Jesus, those accusations become unjust because Jesus has taken our place. He's taken our sin upon himself. Right. And so in that moment, when we receive the Lord Jesus, everything that we could be accused of justly, those accusations then become unjust because Jesus' blood has washed us. And so just as Job's so-called friends were accusing him unjustly, we are accused unjustly by Satan. And so the accuser is, I think, the one who shall fall. He shall die like men. He shall fall like one of the princes. You know, the Lord said that he saw Satan cast out of heaven. He came to earth like lightning. Boom. How many of y'all have heard lightning very close? That is one of the loudest sounds I have ever heard. I remember one night, well, before sunset, and it was in July. I was walking in the rain. This terrible storm had started, but I get a thrill out of storms. It energizes me. I'm not afraid of lightning and thunder. I have respect for lightning, don't get me wrong. And I got even more after this walk, because it was raining pretty hard, but I was just enjoying the walk, enjoying the feel of the rain on my body as I walked, enjoying the sound of the rain. Talk about the sound of many waters. That is so wonderful, to hear the rain coming down on the leaves of the trees, of the pavement, of the puddles. To hear that, it's just, it's music to my soul. That's the only way I can describe it. But it got really bad. The wind kicked up fiercely. And there was where I was walking, there was a pool, and there was a pool house with a large eaves, big eaves overhanging. So I stood underneath those eaves. And the deluge got even worse. It was, you want to talk, buckets were coming down. It really looked like there were buckets coming down. Like God's colander just got full and just boom. And this lightning, there was a flagpole like 13 feet away from me, and lightning struck it. I have never heard a sound so loud in all my life, before or since. The hairs on my body stood up because of the static electricity of that strike. The hair on my head was standing up because of the static electricity of that lightning strike. And so that, to have Satan's fall compared to that lightning strike, I get an inkling of what Jesus was talking about there. And to fall that hard, how in the world could you ever get back up? But he's gotten up, and he's been causing problems down here ever since. Just wreaking havoc in the hearts of men who then wreak havoc in the lives of others. And it just continues on like dominoes. And I could start, I don't want to go off on a rabbit trail, but there's a whole other sermon that's rising up in me right now about pride and offense. But I'm not going there, because I'm going to move on to verse 8. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Hallelujah. This is what we're waiting for. We're in the in-between time of how long, O Lord, shall you... How long, O Lord, shall you put up with this? How long will you judge the judge unjustly? That's, I think, what Asaph is saying. How long are you going to let these people get away with this? How long are you going to put up with this junk? Maybe God's asking, how long will you? We can pray against abortion. We can pray against human trafficking. We can pray these things. And maybe it's not going to change the course of the earth. It's not going to change the course of those evil tides, but it might make a difference in one person's life. I have woken up, I can't count the number of times I've woken up in the middle of the night praying for somebody that I don't have a clue who they are, but I just have the urging of the Holy Spirit to pray for somebody because they're in a bad situation. And it might be a bad situation of their own making, or it might be that somebody is doing something to them. But I'm praying for that person, and I'm leaving it in God's hands, knowing that he's got this. And sometimes that's all we can do, is just pray and know that God has got this. Because he does. Arise, O God, judge the earth, because he will. Arise, O God, Jesus is God. And there is coming a time. He might be getting ready to stand up right now in the heavens, sitting right next to God. He might be getting ready to stand up and receive that scroll. Judge the earth, because that's what's going to happen. When those seals start getting opened, God's judgment shall fall on this earth. Praise the Lord, we're not going to be here for that. Amen. We might have the consequences of our own actions to deal with because we were stupid or we were wicked, and we have to then deal with the results of the things we've done. Maybe there's somebody stupid in our lives. Maybe there's somebody wicked in our lives who are doing things. And we might have to deal with the consequences of that. Because God will not take away free will. He won't. He's an honorable God. He's going to keep His word, and He promised us free will. Whatever we do with it is up to us. And so we may deal with consequences of our own actions or the actions of others or of the devil, because sometimes it is the devil's fault. But we will not have to deal with the judgment of God because Jesus did that for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. And so when He says here, judge the earth, He's going to do it. It's coming. Jesus is coming. And there are people who joke and say, look busy. Well, I mean, okay, fun. Yeah, that's funny. But you know what? When you really think about it, it's not. Because you might look busy for the Lord, but are you too busy for the Lord? Is He going to say, I never knew you? Get that relationship with God. And I'm speaking to you people listening on the internet, because everybody in this room here, I know confidently in my heart, everyone here has a relationship with God. So you out there in cyberspace, you out there listening to this, get a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Say to Him, God, I know You're out there. God, I want to know You. I don't want to just know You're there. I don't want to just know there's a higher power. I want to know the higher power. I want to know You on a first name basis. Jesus, come into my heart. Rule my life. Because it's Yours. You paid for it with Your blood on the cross. So I'm Yours now, Lord. Do with me as You will. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you're saved. Don't let the enemy tell you you're not. He will, too. He'll try to convince you, oh, you're not saved. You're stupid. That's stupid. That's just an imaginary thing. It's a fairy tale. It's not. The Word of God is not just legends or fairy tales and stories. It's the truth. It is the way. It is, as the acronym says, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Follow this Word of God. Get into it. And what you get out of it is going to be so much more. The Word itself says it's worth more than silver and gold. It's more valuable than rubies and diamonds. You will be richer than you can imagine for getting in this Word and studying it and then living what you learn from it. Thou shalt inherit all nations. That's the last line of verse 8 of Psalm 82. Jesus is Lord. Not just Lord of the land. Rick's a landlord. How many acres you think you got, Rick? 20 acres. I'm going to tell you something. God has got a lot more than 20 acres. Every single acre, every hectare, every township on this planet, every league, every rod, every cubit of land on this planet belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And He is Lord over it, make no mistake. Satan may have the lease right now, but God has the title deed, and He's about to turn it over to Jesus. And when those seals start breaking, the eviction has begun. There will not only be hell on earth, but it's going to be God's wrath for a world that has rejected His Son and crucified His Son. In Philippians, He tells us, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Amen. Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It also says in that passage in Philippians 2, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth. At that time, I pray, I'm one of those that's in heaven. Amen. Because what happens is at that time, that's going to be the great white throne judgment, I believe. The end of the millennium has come. Every knee shall bow, even Satan's knee, y'all. The end of that, at the beginning of the millennium, Satan is going to bow. He's going to bend the knee. And then he's going to get thrown in a pit for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. So I guess we'll all be on earth to see that, because we are riding back with Jesus. Those of us who will be up there, the bride of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb will happen during that 7 years when there's hell on earth and the wrath of God. And then those who are the bride of Christ, they get to ride back with him at the end of that millennium. And they get to see Satan bow the knee. Bend the knee, Satan, you shall. And then Jesus puts him in the pit for 1,000 years. And then we reign with him. Reign with Jesus. And then for a little while, Satan gets loosed. He gets loosed for a little while. There's another war. Jesus will win that war with a word out of his mouth, which is the word, the sword of the Spirit. And then we move into the glorious eternity. Where there shall be no more tears, amen, no more death, no more parting. And he truly shall have inherited all nations. And the one world government that men are trying to create and are going to fail, the one world government that they say will bring peace to all the earth and prosperity to all the earth, it's not going to happen. But Jesus will make it happen. Jesus' one world government will be of peace and prosperity, where none shall suffer ever again. But we've got a ways to go. We're in the in-between place right now. That's the end goal right there. It's coming. Hallelujah. We know it is because God said so. But until that day come, we're in the how long, O Lord? How long? Well, we don't know. But we know this is not all there is. We know the best is yet to come. And we know the one who knows everything. We know the one who's in control of everything. We know the one who is the ruler of everything. And so, God, we give you thanks, and we give you praise, and we give you glory and honor, because you alone are worthy. And so, God, we thank you in everything. Until that day come, and then we shall thank you and praise you forevermore. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask you to guide it, guide us, let it guide us, guard us, and direct us to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good message, sister.
Praise God.